Welcome to The Sound, KQAL-FM's weekly behind-the-scenes look at Midwestern-made music. From writing and recording to distribution and promotion, The Sound is your source for new releases and exclusive interviews from Midwestern artists. Support for The Sound is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Rolling. Tonight on The Sound, we check out the self-titled debut album from Bird and Air, all the way from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Bird and Air is the solo project from Steve McCabe, the frontman for Redshift Headlights, a staple of the Fox Valley music scene. Bird and Air's self-titled debut is a collection of nine tunes that range from deep, heartfelt emotion to silly, but always close to the artist's heart. All nine tracks have very personal stories and themes and cover the range of human experiences like being a parent, or being a child, or falling in love, and not necessarily in that order. Bird and Air's debut album takes you on a ride from somber to delightful to downright silly or even nightmarish, depending on how you feel about raccoons. Yeah, you heard me right, and I have a feeling Steve would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for those metal, crazy raccoons. I'm Bill Stoneberg, recommending that you grab a stick, some weenies, or marshmallows, cozy up to the fire, and get ready for anything as we bring you Bird and Air's self-titled debut tonight on The Sound.
But we camped our honeymoon, just lit by firelight, when crazy raccoons chased us in.
Something bright when I met you. It could have been a car light or something behind the moon.
That was Flash of Something, and that's the first track from the debut self-titled album from Bird and Air, and they're from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and I have Steve McCabe, the creative force behind Bird and Air, on the phone with me tonight. Steve, how you doing?
I'm good, Bill. How you doing?
Good, good. Full disclosure here, Steve, we've known each other for, I'm guessing, close to 30 years, if not more. We've been neighbors, bandmates. So I just want to let folks know that. Your current band that you have is called Redshift Headlights, and now you've released your first solo album. But you've fronted, like, I mean, dude, more bands than I can count, really. You're kind of a staple of the Fox Valley music scene over there. So what made you want to do a solo album at this point? Like, what was the impetus of this? Why'd you do this?
Well, you know, the band I'm in, Redshift Headlights, it has kind of gelled into a really awesome collaborative group, and we're all writing songs for it pretty equally now. And I had these extra songs and extra demos and things that were either too poppy or had more of an electronic kind of bent to them. Okay. And so I, like, I started to just piece by piece start to turn these into songs that kind of had my own vision, I guess, for them.
Right, right. And it's kind of, I mean, it's super interesting sonically too. Like, I mean, you go everywhere with this, you know. Like you said, kind of poppy, some hooky stuff, and then, you know, and it's all kind of has like an indie aesthetic. And there's a lot of cool lyrics too, a lot of cool stories. I think I was telling you about this before we turned the mics on. I listened to another interview that you did the day after the album came out, and you have some really cool stories about some of those tunes. One of which we're going to play next here, Crazy Raccoons. And I just thought that story was so, like, it's just a cool story, you know. It gives you the warm fuzzies because we all have crazy memories like this, right, in our life. You want to kind of fill folks in on Crazy Raccoons. Where'd that come from?
Well, my wife and I used to camp. I mean, we don't camp quite. We camp maybe once or twice a year now, but we used to camp all the time. That was our only vacation, mm-hmm. You know, way of vacationing. And so, and we loved it. And so we'd always camp up in Madeline Island at Peninsula Bay State Park or Big Bay State Park.
Okay. Sure.
And we had this kind of like ongoing, sort of feud with raccoons up there. And, one year it got particularly, acute where we were cooking some steaks on a grill, and these raccoons were like surrounding our campsite. We were in like a little walk-in site, and they were like climbing up the trees and kind of, you know, making their noises at us. And so I started throwing objects at them, which I guess is not the best move to make. I found out later. And so they put me on their radar. And they eventually kind of went away, and we didn't think anything of it. And so we stuck our food into a pup tent. We were kind of not the most sophisticated campers, even though we'd been doing it for a long time. We just put all our food in a pup tent in our coolers. And in the middle of the night, the raccoons came and tore that pup tent apart.
Oh, and my gosh. So you guys were in it, and they attacked the tent?
Well, no, we had our own little tent, and then they had we had a separate pup tent that was our food pup tent, because we thought, well, that's a good way to keep that stuff secure. But they tore right into that, and so I climbed out of our main tent and like chased them into the woods, and halfway into the woods, I realized that I was outgunned because I couldn't see anything, and so I started running back toward the camp, and I shouted to my wife, Beth, go to the car, run to the car, and so we had to run through the woods, get to the car, get inside the car, and then the raccoons chased us and were clawing on the car. So, you know, for me, it was like, you know, my wife and I have been together for 30 years. Back then, uh-huh. we weren't married yet. And so, like, for me, this is like, you know, we've been through a lot together. And right. So, like, that's just one of the many, like, adventures that sort of sum up our love for mm-hmm. each other and our life together and our marriage. And so the song's kind of about eloping, but it's also about this like adventure that we went on when we were camping. So,
oh, cool. That's super cool, man. Is that kind of like,
It seems like a lot of these tunes have very personal backstories or lyrical themes. Is that part of why this is emerging from you now? You know,
maybe. Yeah, it turned out that this I don't usually write about myself, so I'll you know, put little bits of my life into songs. But otherwise, I kind of have imaginative stories I like to tell about other people or whatever. And this became a super autobiographical record, so it's super connected to me. I mean, I've got songs about my parents passing away and stuff. Like, wow. It goes in every direction.
Right,
so,
right.
So yeah, this is a really kind of personal autobiographical record.
Right, right. Well, let's go ahead and play Crazy Raccoons for folks, and then we'll be back to talk more. I'm here with Steve McCabe, and otherwise known as Bird in Air, and we're playing through his self-titled debut of Bird in Air called, well, Bird in Air, right? Self-titled.
That's right.
I'm going down a whole spiral of redundancy there. Anyway, we'll be back to talk to Bird in Air or Steve right after this. This is Crazy Raccoons, and you're listening to it on The Sound on 89.5 KQAL.
Chased us into the night. We camped our honeymoon, just lit by firelight. And crazy raccoons chased us into the night. Yeah, we did. At the underside, and hardly slept until the sunrise.
That was Crazy Raccoons, and that's the second track off of Bird and Air, which is a self-titled debut by, well, Bird and Air. And I have Steve McCabe on the phone from Bird and Air on the phone with me tonight. Steve, so we were just talking about kind of the lyrical themes and things like that, you know, how personal this album is, how autobiographical it is. Does that make it, is it more difficult to like put out and release and get out there? How does it feel, you know, to put something like that out?
Yeah, it was, I mean, while I was making it, when I was like writing the words, that process was super cathartic. Like, sure. Cause I was writing the lyrics as I was recording them. I have a home studio, so I was doing things really immediately.
Okay.
And I would have periods where I'd write a you know, a section and record it and listen back and just like, you know, burst into tears sometimes, or wow, just or laugh or whatever. It was kind of really like a pretty personal experience. So now that it's out, I feel less, like I'm more detached from it. It's kind of okay. Out there. I can't really control how people listen to it or what they think of it or at this point. So, right. And I'm kind of used to that process. And so at this point, I'm not that emotionally, you know, like raw in terms of like, you know, the experience of other people listening to it. But initially it was definitely an emotional process.
Right, right. Through that process, when you're like writing and recording at the same time, did the tunes like evolve into things that were kind of more than the sum of their parts, so to speak, where it was, did that help? Is that part of what helped you like, I don't know. I guess get it out, you know. Does that make it easier, I guess? You know, do they change into something that's like, oh, that's more than just my memory, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, the like personal experience turns into the art form, right? And
right.
So like, and sure. So I'm pretty interested in songwriting structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the parts of the stories that are autobiographical, at a certain point I realized, well, this doesn't work as autobiography in this song. I have to insert some imaginative stuff so the arc of the song moves towards some kind of epiphany or some kind of like shift. Like
right.
I'm always into like what some poets call the last breath of a poem or the final breath. And so that's kind of what I kind of work. So even though there's so much autobiography in this record, there's a ton of like just like trying to make it work as a song.
Right, you know? Right. So when you're writing that stuff, where does it start for you? You know, I know, you know, you mentioned you're into song structure, things like that. And I know drums have played a prominent role in your life, guitar as well. Where do you start? Do you start with lyrics? Do you start with melody, chords? Do you start with the drum beat? I mean, how does it start for you usually?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a drummer at heart. So that's kind of my origins are in rhythm. But I play guitar like a drummer. So I'm not like a super like picky, you know, I'm not a sophisticated guitarist, but I'm interested in sort of the rhythm. And so, yeah, I would say I stack things upon, you know, a rhythmic arrangement of chords, and then melody comes sometimes with that, sometimes later, and then arrangements come, you know, further down the line.
Right. Do you have the lyrics in mind already when you start doing that, or does that kind of come after the fact?
Sometimes I do, but usually those are end up being placeholder lyrics. I'm pretty rarely happy with my first attempt at lyrics.
Right.
Like I tend to have to separate that a little bit.
Right. Well, and I think that's kind of the mark of a seasoned songwriter is you realize, like, you know, the first thing you put down, it's simply that, the first thing you put down. Then you start shaping things and everything changes, right? It's all fluid, right?
Totally, you know, yeah. Like, nothing's done until it's out. So
it's
always a draft.
Right.
So, yeah.
So very cool, very cool. Well, let's get into some more music for folks. I'm here talking to Steve McCabe of Bird and Air. Bird and Air just released their first album called Bird and Air. This next track we're going to hear is Bungalow by the Sea, and you're listening to it on The Sound on 89.5 KQAL.
I said someday we could run away to Hollywood, and then national sound. The roads are all patched in, the car shakes like a tambourine. We can leave all our friends for some bungalow by the sea. We can leave all our friends for some bungalow by the sea. Maybe I could teach you.
That was Bungalow by the Sea, and that's from Bird and Air, who just released their first album, self-titled debut. And I have Steve McCabe from Bird and Air on the phone with us tonight. Steve, so we were kind of talking about your writing process and stuff, and how intertwined that is with recording as well. What about your recording process? Do you do it at home? Do you have a home studio? Do you have someone helping you produce, or are you producing it all? How does this work for you? How did Bird and Air happen?
Well, you know, I started just as a, you know, musician. And so normally it's been other people kind of recording me, and I've learned along the way. In the last 10 years, I put together a little just basement studio. But in the last 4 years, I built a studio here at my house, and it's it's pretty over the top. To call it a home studio is a little nuts. The console I have at my house was the console used for Van Halen's Diver Down, and Michael Jackson, Madonna recorded on it. The Paul Simon's Graceland, all the overdubs were done on it. It was built for me.
What kind of console? It's
a Harrison MR2.
Okay.
And I've been rebuilding it in the last 6 months with a brilliant tech named Gary Bomber from the area here. And so that's kind of that's the center of the studio. And then I've got a ton of outboard gear and a lot of instruments. I'm kind of into old instruments. So I have, you know, like a 1950s B3 organ. And
oh, cool.
I've got a ton of old stuff. So it's fun to, I'm trying to make it as analog as possible, mm-hmm. even though the end result goes to the computer and through right. converters and things like that. But it's been a real learning process. So as I've been writing this music and recording this music, I've also been learning, tutoring myself on recording techniques and all that stuff. And so it's been a marriage of the two, for sure.
Right, it's a journey, right?
Yeah.
You know, in that I personally love older gear as well, and it may be because I'm older. I don't know, but I also think that when you know when you're using that stuff, like it sounds like you had to learn things, right? And you've got a ton of experience behind you, but I think using analog gear puts us in a different mindset where when you have a good understanding of the analog process, I think you understand the entire process better because you know why is it called this in the digital world? You know, why is there a tool that's shaped like a razor blade? That's weird. You know, I have kids that ask me that, you know,
right. Well, absolutely.
There's reasons for all this, right? You know, so oh, I think that's a noble pursuit in and of itself, personally, you know?
Yeah. And it's more fun and more like there's like you turn in knobs and it's I don't know, that's like you're in the world rather than you're in a box or something, you know.
It's
more fun.
Yeah I think you said it's more tactile there, right?
Totally.
I lost you for a second. Yep, yeah, tactile. Totally. And I tend to you know, and I don't know if this might just be my age again, but I think I tend to walk through the world a little bit like Indiana Jones, like, you know, I don't go around saying that should be in a museum, but I go around saying, hey, that should be in use. You know, like
we
should be using that. Do not throw that away. We're going to fix it and we're going to use it, you know. So
absolutely.
So I applaud you for that. I think that's fantastic. Keep that alive, please. You know?
Yeah, and I think there's a whole world of people out there who are into that. Even like the younger generation, like people in their like teens and 20s even are like discovering how cool and different analog stuff is. I just think there's a hunger for it.
Yeah.
We've had a few decades living in computers and we're like, that's not that awesome. Let's recover some of the cool stuff that came before it, you know.
Yeah. And I think you're right. The younger generation is just as interested, you know, which is fantastic. Yeah. Does that stuff ever like the old analog gear, does that ever inform where you go with a song? Like when you're writing and recording at the same time, you know, how intertwined is that process? Do you, you know, does a piece of gear inspire kind of where a song ends up?
Yeah, actually it does. Like, you know, I'm just thinking of one section. I mean, it happened all the time, but I had this little amplifier with an 8-inch speaker in it. And I had this old pedal that I couldn't afford to keep it because it was like an expensive pedal, and I played through it and it just sounded so raunchy and tough and awesome that I had to write a whole section for a song just around that sound.
Oh, cool.
Right? Just the tone itself made me write this part for it. So right. That became the pre-chorus of 4th of July, the song 4th of July.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Cool. Do you, are you playing everything on this record too then? Is it all you or do you have other musicians joining you?
I played every single instrument. That was part of it, is that this was an exercise in just trying to do everything myself, almost like, you know, like a sculptor just carving stuff out of stone, just do it.
Right.
I just wanted to, like, these are my songs. I'm going to engineer it. I'm not going to collaborate. I didn't even want input from anybody. So if I ever played any little bits for anyone, I said, I don't want any input. So don't tell me what you think.
I don't want to know.
I want to go through this process sort of as a solitary journey sort of thing. And so, yeah, so from, songwriting to engineering to performance to mixing and mastering, I nobody else touched this whole thing. So.
Oh, cool. Cool. I like that too, because I don't know. There's something about that, you know. I often wonder, like, you know, songs that get I'm trying to think of an example off the top of my head. Like Jackson Browne in the Eagles song, Standing in the Corner. Oh my goodness, I can't remember the title of the song. But, you know, like, what would have happened if the Eagles never would have picked that up and it was just a Jackson Browne song, you know? Or the one, I think, Tom Petty's guitar player, I can't remember his name now either.
He
wrote something that, Mike Campbell. Yeah.
Mike Campbell.
He wrote something that got passed on to Don Henley and now I can't think of the name of that. Boy, I'm not real good at this today. but you know, those tunes that are, you know, written by one person or started by someone and then finished by someone else, or bands that are very collaborative, like what would have happened if just that one person would have finished the song? I think that's really neat and really kind of cool. So I think it's kind of what a solo record is about, you know, really.
Yeah, so. I guess so. It's fun in its own. And I mean, to me, the most pleasurable part of music is the collaboration and mm-hmm. being with friends.
Right. You know. Hello?
Gonna try something different.
Okay. I lost you there again too, but yeah, you said the collaboration with friends, you know.
Yeah, the collaboration with friends is the best part of music, but for this particular record, the solo search was what I was after.
Right. I like that. And speaking of which, let's drill down into some more. Let's play another tune. This next tune is called Every Mother's Child. I'm here talking to Steve McCabe of Bird and Air. Bird and Air just released their first solo debut a few weeks ago. And this is a track from it called Every Mother's Child right here on 89.5 KQAL.
Everybody else says
That was Every Mother's Child, and that's a track off the new album from Bird and Air called Bird and Air. And we have Steve McCabe from Bird and Air on the phone with us tonight. Steve, so we're kind of all over the place there, but we were just talking kind of about your process, you know, and how you create this stuff, how it works in the studio, old gear, things like that. When you're going through and figuring out, like you said, there was a pedal that, you know, you had to write, you wrote a part around, like, how do you decide? Like, I know there's, in that last tune, Every Mother's Child, there's a, like an auto tune of type effect on one piece, you know, and another thing that stood out to me was Bungalow by the Sea. There's a distorted vocal on there, you know, that's very distinct. How do you decide? How do you make these sonic choices, basically? You know, like, what informs that? Is it the lyric itself? You know, where do the sounds come from, and how do you decide what a song sounds like, you know?
I mean, I wish there were, like, a solid answer I could give you on that. I think once it feels like it's done.
Okay.
So, like, I remember talking to a painter, or a couple painters, but one painter, I remember this conversation we had, and I'm like, how do you know? You can always add some more brush strokes. How do you know when it's done? And he says, I stand back and I look at it. I think about it. I take a week or two. And sometimes I know right away. And sometimes I come to the realization that it's done. And I think that's what it's like for me. I keep adding stuff until it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's too much, I take stuff away until it's done.
Right.
Until it feels, you know, right. The Ever Mother's Child, until the day before I mixed that song, that didn't have a synthesizer part on it during the chorus.
Oh, wow.
I added that Juno 106 synthesizer part, right? I'm like, there's something, it needs something else. And it's ended up being this really distinct kind of part of the chorus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it wasn't until that was done that song felt done. So.
Wow. And, you know, that part to me makes it sound, and I have to confess here, I don't, lyrics don't come to me immediately when I listen to stuff. I'm usually, I think it's the rhythm section that hits me first and then the, whatever the hook is. Right. And then after a few listens, the lyrics start to sink into me, you know, but the first few listens of this, it sounds like you're maybe talking to your child. Right. And I think that synthesizer part reminds me of like children's toys or melodies that you would come out of those type of things or situations, or something you would sing to a child as a lullaby, you know. I think it's kind of neat that way.
Yeah, that whole song's a lullaby. That's
Yeah.
I love the connection to like children's electronic toys, because I think you're right that does. I didn't even think of that, but maybe that's why that kind of works, because it does evoke that, especially now as parents, we like all our kids' toys are electronic, but the toys we had as kids sounded more like that, like beepy sort of sounding,
right?
Like
a little dare I say like cheap or something it sounded, you know.
Yeah,
but it's endearing that way, you know.
Totally.
Oh, and you know, another thing which I love, by the way, and that to me, I really dig when like the theme of the song and the sounds like really gel, you know. I really love that. So I think, kudos to you, man. Fantastic job on that, on this tune and on the whole record. I'm talking to Steve McCabe from Bird and Air, and we're going through his solo debut here, titled Bird and Air. Let's go through the next tune. We'll play the next track, and we'll come back and talk some more about it. This next track is Birds on Air Over Water. Oh, my God, Steve, I love that title. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Here it is, folks, Birds on Air Over Water. You're listening to it on The Sound right here on 89.5 KQAL.
Seems everything will always be.
This is how it seems. Everything will always be. I'm young. When you both walk with me on the shore, and I point and say, can you see all those birds on the water?
That was Birds on Air Over Water, and that's a track from the band Bird and Air, which is a solo effort from Steve McCabe, who I have on the phone with me tonight. Steve, so that track, like that title super intrigued me, you know. It's as close as we come to a title track here, right? I mean, it's almost,
right.
it's similar to the title. But I just, Birds on Air Over Water. To me, that's very, it invokes like a visual to me. Like I can see this happening. Which I think is part of the lyric in the tune too. You say something about see them, you know, can you see them?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? I'm just curious about this. Like what's the inspiration behind that tune? You know?
Well, something like that might happen when I was a kid, but it's really about my parents and about interactions with my parents when I was a kid, and it's about nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's about like asking your parents questions about things that seem magical or unreal to you, right? And looking for answers to those. And so, you know, the song is really about my parents. In the last 3 years, both my parents passed away. They both.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And thank you. They lived great lives there. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, it was a really tough time. And so, that song is kind of an homage to everything that if a little song can even be a fragment of a thank you to, everything that they kind of gave to me and transmitted to me and mm-hmm. conveyed. And, the chorus of it is really this kid's, which is me kind of saying, can you see all those birds on air over water? Are they real?
Cool.
And so that line, are they real? Are they real? It's kind of like what it feels like. It's hard to imagine that people you've lost, all you have left are these memories. And
yeah.
Is that real? Did that really happen?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the idea of the song is you know, our, yeah. Well, our, to what degree are our memories real? I don't know. It's
right,
soft,
right.
I guess.
Well, I was just going to say, I think our memories are kind of magical that way, you know?
Totally.
And you're a parent yourself now, right?
Yeah.
And how many kids do you have, by the way?
Just one.
Just one. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, just our son.
Okay. How old is he now?
He's 13.
13. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. He's awesome. He's a handful. He's almost as tall as me. He's like almost 6 feet tall.
Jeez, Louise. Oh, cool. Cool. Well, so that's just it though. You know, then these things are cyclical too. And I'm sure you've already had a bunch, but you'll have even more of these experiences now from a different angle, right? You know?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that I think about my parents because now I'm a parent, and I think of them very differently, right? Because I'm going through these parallel experiences, like you said. I totally agree. You have kids, right?
I don't have any. No, no.
You don't? Oh, okay, I thought you did. No, okay, yeah, no. Yeah.
I live vicariously through my brother and sister. They both have children, so.
Oh my gosh.
I'm the uncle. So I'm the crazy uncle.
The cool uncle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, some days, you know. It depends. So. Speaking of, well, I'm just going to try to bring it back around here. Music. What have you been listening to lately? You know, I mean, a lot of people, say, well, what are you influenced by? What do you listen to? I mean, you know, we're influenced by all kinds of things in life, but what's been in your player lately? Like, what are you grooving on these days? What do you recommend to folks? You know,
I've been listening to a lot of pretty like kind of breezy, easy stuff, like nothing too challenging. So like, like the recent Youth Lagoon record, the Japanese Breakfast record, the Beths album. Mm-hmm. What's that one called? I forget. Expert in a Dying Field. Like some of those are the kinds of things I kind of have on rotation. In addition to, you know, like just my friends' bands. So much of the music I listen to is just music of my friends put out and, in the region and, you know, and just even locally, there's a really rich musical scene here. So like bands like The Present Age from Oshkosh or The Traveling Suitcase from Oshkosh. The singer from that band played drums with us for a while, and he's awesome.
Cool.
I mean, music for me, I'm listening to a lot of different things, but those are the ones that maybe people would know, I guess, the first ones I mentioned.
Right, right. I'm jotting these down. Oh, my God. This is one of my favorite parts of this process, is hearing what other people listen to. And I think... I know we are over here, but it sounds like you guys are in the same boat over there. Just extremely lucky and fortunate to have like so many talented people around creating music and, you know, around here. It's all kinds of art, but I just absolutely love it, man. The Present Age, I did see them on a video series that I found on YouTube. I don't know if it's shot like right in Oshkosh or something.
Yeah, that's probably the Oshkosh Rock series, and that the bass player from our band, Dean Hoffman, who I've played with for years. He and I did we were in the Willis together and other bands, Cookie Bug. That's his studio. It's called The Salon, and he's got a video series of live performances out of The Salon.
Very cool.
And it's an awesome series. And the next one coming up is the band Shuby, which is another Oshkosh band, but a band that's playing regionally a lot and doing lots of cool stuff. So.
Okay. Sweet, sweet. I love passing out things like that, or, you know, passing that on and promoting stuff like that, because that's just, I think it's so cool. And also, I try to keep a little bit of realism in my head that, like, I think all scenes are like one or two people or decisions away from either blowing up more or falling apart. So,
right.
I think it's important that we all support this stuff, you know? So,
Absolutely. So,
that's good to get out there. The Present Age, what did you say it was? Oshkosh Rocks, right?
Oshkosh Rocks.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Oshkosh Rocks on YouTube. Sweet.
Yeah. And then, I was just thinking Winona bands, we used to play. A few times we played with the Ultrasounds.
Oh, yeah.
Winona. We love those guys. Those guys are awesome. So
totally. Totally.
Shout out to them.
And they, Todd and Megan, have a new thing out, or it's not necessarily new, but the Reach Outs is something they've been doing currently. So,
okay. I'm not hip to that. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, awesome. Check them out too. So good stuff. as far as Bird and Air, we have a digital copy of it here, so folks can call in and request any of these songs. Will there be physical copies available at some point? Anything like that in the works?
You know, I usually like to release things on vinyl. I don't know if I can afford. We'll see how this goes, if mm-hmm. I can put that out on vinyl. I'll probably make CDs, have CDs produced this summer and play some either when I'm playing Bird on Air shows or doing Redshift shows, so I have something kind of physical for people to grab. I'm also interested in like cassette tapes, so it'll either be a cassette tape or a CD with direct downloads available. So
very cool. Yeah, it's interesting to see the resurgence of cassettes, man. That's something I never thought I'd see, you know.
I know, kind of neat. I love tapes.
Me too. They're very cool. So we can hear it on all the streaming platforms, Bandcamp. What about getting a physical copy or getting show dates, other merch, things like that? Where can people go to find out more?
You can find that stuff at birdandair.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
Or on my Facebook or Instagram. Just search Bird and Air on Facebook or Bird and Air on Instagram.
Okay. Very cool. And then, we'll talk about this at a later date, but your full-time band, Redshift Headlights. You guys are in the process of recording a new album, right? Or you just did, I think.
We did the beds. We did 2 days of just the like instrumental beds, and we're going to do some overdubs and vocals. But we did those two beds at Electrical Audio with Steve Albini. So nice. That was a really fun experience. Yeah, awesome. And yeah, it was cool.
Awesome. Well, let's get together and do this again when that record comes out, and we'll talk more about your experience in Chicago with Albini, huh?
Sounds great.
Cool. Well, Steve, thank you so much. We're going to go out with another tune, the last tune on the record, Go On. But thank you so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to have to get over there and visit, man, because, it's been a long time. Been a long time.
Yeah,
man.
And I'll have to swing through, too, when I'm on my either there or on my way to Minnesota. By the way, Mark Miller says, hey, your old friend, I think Mark Miller.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he's in Minneapolis, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And Dallas Orbiter has a brand new record coming out.
What?
Amazing record. It's coming out on vinyl. So you'll have to hook up with him, too.
Oh, my God. I'll have to hook up with him, too. Sure. Thanks so much. And, Bandcamp for Bird and Air, right? And Bandcamp and Instagram, it sounds like, are the best ways to find you.
Yep.
And then there's redshiftheadlights.com. So I'll just throw that in there as well. Thanks so much, Steve. And
thanks, Bill.
We're going to play one more tune here. This is Go On, and this is the last track on the debut from Bird and Air, which is Steve McCabe. This is Go On, and you're listening to it on The Sound on 89.5 KQL.
Sitting alone and thinking, sitting alone all this time.
time. Give up or go on. Give up or go on. Give up or go on. Don't give up, go on.
Thanks again to Steve McCabe of Bird and Air for joining us tonight on The Sound. For showtimes, merch, or to hear more from Bird and Air, look them up on Bandcamp, Facebook, or Instagram. For more deep dives into local and regional albums, tune into The Sound every Wednesday night at 6, right here on 89.5 KQAL. You can also listen to past episodes of The Sound on your favorite streaming services. Find links at kqal.org. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and we've been listening to Bird and Air's self-titled debut on The Sound. Thanks for listening to The Sound. The Sound is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us online at kqal.org. Theme music for The Sound provided by Mike Terrell of Fires of Denmark.